Welcome back to Techonomics. I'm your host, Jason Middleton. We're going to pivot from Silicon Valley legends and look across the pond at Europe, Britain, and what's known as the Brexit. In a narrow vote, Britons voted to leave the European Union, to go it alone, forcing a renegotiation of how the economic power of the United Kingdom will be yielded when it comes to Europe and the world. Some say, nothing to see here. We got this. Others are panicked and see a looming recession, or worse. And some see a Brexit vote emblematic of not only a pushback against globalization itself, but possibly the death throes of the entire industrial revolution that we've been living in for, you know, about 150 years. To help put context around just what is happening, we grabbed Kevin Maney. He's a senior columnist at Newsweek magazine. Kevin and I spoke earlier this week. Do me a favor, give me your name and title, please.
I'm Kevin Maney, and I'm technology columnist for Newsweek magazine.
Brexit, the exit of the UK from the European Union, kind of shocked everybody. People don't like uncertainty if they have money in the markets, but the markets are fine. As a matter of fact, late last week, they were stable. So what are you seeing overall when it comes to the Brexit? I mean, should we continue to clutch our pearls?
It depends, because if Brexit is about making the country of the UK, I mean, if it becomes smaller, if it becomes more pieces, and those pieces stay highly connected to the world, then they actually might actually do better than they've done as a group of nations bound under this United Kingdom, you know, headline. There's a new book out that's actually quite insightful called Connectography by a guy named Parag Khanna. And he argues with a flurry of facts that the world is moving towards more borders but more connected countries, because smaller units govern themselves so much better. I mean, look what's happening in the U.S. I mean, we've got this big nation. There's so much complexity. There's so many different interests that are involved, and we can't govern ourselves because it's almost too complex. And so he's arguing that smaller units actually govern themselves better and address people's local lives better. But the trick there is that those smaller units have to be highly connected to the rest of the world through, you know, the internet and networks, but also through trade and through, you know, open borders and immigration and all these kinds of things. So the trick here is that the emotions behind Brexit had to do with closing in, with closing borders, you know, saying no to globalization and trade and all those kinds of things. So that's wrong. That's going to harm those nations. However, if Brexit ends up being about Scotland becoming an independent nation, Northern Ireland maybe being its own nation or going with Ireland, England becoming a smaller entity, and those entities all opening up and trading aggressively with the world outside and connecting with the world outside, that's actually a movement towards things that will be better for the world and better for them.
I'm trying to put my arms around this, but I kind of want to go big with it and say it's a continuing pivot away from the industrial revolution and the industrial economies we've built up until now and moving to something else. But as soon as I try to go big like that, I don't know which way to go. It's a fork in the road. Are you stuck on something, or can you help me guide my way back to where I need to be?
No, actually, I think that you are right. The industrial era for 150 years was about scale, scale one. And because it was hard to build scale, and that became a competitive advantage. So whether it was a company, you know, that was what corporations were all about. We're about being big, you know, being bigger, making more things inside of your own walls. And that scale was a detriment to anybody else being able to compete against you. Countries' scale was what mattered. That's why countries took over other countries, and they wanted more territory, more natural resources. And that was what made you a winner in the global economy and the global power structure. What's happening now is because connections and networks and data and talent have become the new natural resources that are most important. And in fact, we're rapidly going towards an era when resources like oil and natural gas are becoming less and less powerful and important. So we're actually going towards an era where scale matters less. And in fact, as we see constantly in business, you know, with an Airbnb being able to like basically slam into the hotel industry, or Uber being able to come from nowhere and take over the worldwide taxi industry, that scale is no longer an impediment, some little competitor coming in and just sort of whomping you. That's happening to countries too. Scale is not going to be what's important anymore. Having networks and connectivity and data and talent and creativity, those are the things that are going to be the new natural resources, and you don't need to be huge to have that. So these little entities that are more effective and more agile and more connected to the outside world are kind of like the new startups that happen, and it's actually going to be better in this new world.
We're speaking with Kevin Maney, a senior columnist at Newsweek magazine. If the EU and the UK are divorcing, it's going to take them a while, and one of them is going to be a hotter X than the other X, right? And that's the way it's going to have to play out. But if you look at Norway, they did not buy into the EU. Now, they pay for access to the market, but they're not a member of the EU. So that's kind of like having a friend with benefits. So which model do you think UK should follow? Go standalone or do the Norway into the EU thing and stay as close as possible?
Yeah, no, so Norway is starting to look brilliant because Norway has done exactly what I just described. You know, Norway has stayed small and effectively self-governing, but it has done what it needs to do to be highly connected to the outside world and through the EU and to the globe. You know, one of the countries in the world that has been fantastically effective is Estonia. And it's a tiny little nation that has, you know, population of a few million, and yes, it's part of the EU, has very few real natural resources, but this is where Skype and a bunch of other, you know, technologies have come out of. They've made themselves a highly networked, data and digital intensive society, and it has one of the highest standards of living in the world. So these are the countries that are turning out to be the successes, and this is what the UK is going to have to look for. Now, as Theresa May comes into power and she's looking at how to divorce herself from the EU, she certainly does have a choice here of trying to honor the referendum by having the divorce happen, but also, if she's forward-thinking enough and understands what's going to work in the new world, you kind of go with that Norway model and be ultra-connected still to the EU and to wherever else she needs to be.
I think it's important to mention as well that Norway and Estonia have some of the fastest internet connection availability in the world as well.
Yes, and those are the things that matter now.
Right. My last question for you is, there's a little bit of a vibe going through Silicon Valley after Brexit, and that is, can we go poach some talent out of London and other places? because, you know, we have this battle for talent out here, which makes it so expensive to live here. But at the same time, is that a fear that Britain should think about?
Well, in the short term, yes, because there is panic and because there is uncertainty and all of those kinds of things. And, you know, uncertainty is the worst thing for business. And I'm sure there will be talented people who think they might be better off somewhere else. And that's probably something that will happen in the short term. Again, if Theresa May can kind of quickly let people know that, you know, the connections are still going to be there and there's going to be some different administrative sort of aspects of the way this works, but all is going to be well in business as usual, you know, that's probably not really going to happen in any really big way. But it's all going to be in whatever recipe she cooks up in the next year or so, and in what direction people are going to be looking closely to see what direction she wants to go in.
Well, she's moving quickly with her appointment, so maybe a year isn't out of the question. Kevin, thanks a lot for your time this morning. Very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
That's Kevin Maney. He's a senior columnist at Newsweek magazine. For links to his column and his social platforms, check out KGORadio.com and look for the Techonomics page. So far, the Brexit has not rattled the markets too much. It did at first, but since then, we're pretty much back to normal. Policy and politics will take over now, and if Britain crushes it with its Brexit, prepare for a Frexit push in France and maybe another Grexit push out of Greece. Coming up after the break, let's look at our own American economy. The third economic quarter just got started. So far, so good. Early corporate earnings are coming in pretty positive. We have an expert who analyzes the economy every day, and even he is scratching his head about what's coming. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please stick around.